Welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's video game discussion podcast. I am your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Hello.
And sorry, Shannon.
Hello.
I was worried I was coming through on a delay again there, James.
No,
you spooked
me. Yeah. Obviously, I'm quite sick at the moment, so I'm muting, so I don't have to subject anybody to my coughs or sniffles.
It is that
throat
that
clearing
time of year. There's so many bugs going around.
Sorry, I'm delayed. It's not you. It's me.
We're going to be talking about more than just colds today, though. We're going to be talking about Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, a string of new announcements from Capcom, some iOS ports struggling, which I'm keen to get your impressions on, Shannon, given you've played some, and Forza Horizon 4 being delisted. We haven't yet discussed our review of Elden Ring, but that's where I want to start. Sorry, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, the DLC. We definitely discussed our review of Elden Ring back in the day. Harry gave it a 10 out of 10, writing in his review that it is, quote, yet another masterpiece from or by From Software that doubles down on the best parts of Elden Ring and bolsters them through an inviting new world, an engaging story, and a ridiculously Moorish gameplay loop. James, I'm going to throw it to you first, because I have it on good authority that you've played a good chunk of the DLC already so far yourself. Does that assessment from Harry kind of ring true with you and your experience so far?
I like it as well. Start with. I don't know. I feel like I enjoy the base game more still. I'm finding that a lot of the... Oh, God. There's just so much to talk about with it. Like, I can't believe it's getting, like, such unanimous praise. Like, I do feel like it does feel very much like more of the same. But I definitely feel like even though the world is bigger, it's not as dense as the original game was. Like, there are areas where there's, like, two things to find that are almost as big as, like, one corner of the map, as an example. I'll find other paths and stuff, and I just get, like, a smithing stone or a cookbook. It's, like, in the original Elden Ring, I've definitely felt like you were kind of rewarded a lot more for going off the beaten path, but now I definitely am feeling like... It's almost like they've spread themselves too thin. For the sake of being able to say, the map's as big as, like, Lindgrave, or it's bigger, but then, like, in terms of depth, there's just not as much there, in my opinion.
What do you think is the kind of ratio between, you know, going down a path and discovering something substantial versus something relatively inconsequential? Like, is it 50-50 that you're going to get something interesting, or a bit more than
obviously
that?
Obviously, I might have had, like, really bad luck, but I honestly, like, at this point, it feels for every five paths I go down, I'll find one of them has something good in it.
Pretty low.
Well, that doesn't sound good at all.
No.
Well, that's...
And for that reason, I disagree with you, Harry. It's a 5 out of 10.
Yeah. I just want to... Like, obviously, there's still something about it. Like, I played it all day today on my deathbed, on my couch.
Just got pure masochistic crowd.
What I'm trying to say is, like, there's still... There's still something compelling me to keep playing it, absolutely.
Is it safe to say if you loved the game, it's more of the same, right? I don't think that's a bad thing to say. Like, there's almost no reason.
I agree. But what I do think has happened is, I don't know if they've made the map bigger and then been like, oh, shit, we don't have anything. So they just fill it up with, like, these like, random boss battles, like, with characters that are like your character. It's hard to explain without kind of ruining stuff. But a lot of the boss battles are... a little bit underwhelming. The main ones are great. Like, they're really fun. But yeah, I don't know. It's good. I just don't think it's as dense or as masterfully crafted as the original game was.
Okay.
I think that's
fair. And I should clarify, like, I'm not a From person. Like, I loved Sekiro. Mm. I've always liked Dark Souls, but I've never loved them. Mm. And I really loved Elden Ring. But for Erdtree, like... I don't know, like, there's definitely something missing there. Like, if you told me it was another team, like, I would believe you. Like, it doesn't feel like the same team who put together that map for
one
the
hit
first
wonder
Elden Ring
sort of thing.
No, they're not. Now you're just being silly. Nah, it's genuinely good still. Like, I'm enjoying it. It's still challenging, which, like, I'll probably
definitely talk about definitely that do
at some point,
that.
I'm sure. but Yeah, I do think it's missing something. I think it's just too... There's too much breadth and not enough depth, if I had to put it into one sentence.
All right. This is quite interesting, because, like, I'm sort of a little bit of the opinion that people going and reviewing From Software games typically have some sort of attachment to the series, because you can't... Or lineage. Or, sorry, not with the series, but, like, with Soulsborne games. Because you kind of have to, right? Like, they're a game kind of very made very much like a specific audience. So I guess it didn't surprise me that people loved the DLC because you have to be so far through Elden Ring already in order to kind of
that
be able
was
to experience
thought.
It in the first place. So yeah, I'm very curious about that assessment, James. And your assessment of Elden Ring generally was interesting to me because you weren't like a big From Software guy, despite like having dabbled in a bunch of their games. Yeah, we were talking before the show. Like, I'm kind of tempted to go back, and like we were chatting, I didn't really make that much headway in Elden Ring. I just didn't feel like I was gonna get anywhere in a meaningful amount of time with it, having played like 25 hours and beaten a couple of bosses. But yeah, every time I see, it's always the same with every From Software game, when I see people enjoying something new and exploring things like together and sort of real time and discovering things, it gets me like so interested in the world, and I kind of have a bit of FOMO. As for the difficulty aspect of it, I guess that's kind of been the big talking point that's emerged about the DLC specifically. And I guess this is where I was surprised, because if people are accustomed to a level of difficulty and seem to kind of celebrate that and kind of gatekeep the game a little bit to an extent, from people that do struggle with the difficulty, saying this is how it's meant to be. But actually this time the people have been coming out and saying it's too difficult, and kind of negative user reviews are being submitted to that effect too. Such that From Software have now released a patch that kind of buffs the player characters a little bit. I think it affects the kind of leveling.
It's more than a little bit.
Right.
Like,
okay.
I logged in one day and I was like, did I forget that I leveled up?
Like, oh, wow.
It was like, yeah, it's crazy.
Okay.
But it is like, I kind of feel like I had the same trajectory as a lot of people who probably were jumping into this. They've got this kind of ridiculous end game build from the base game, right?
Mm.
And rather than just put you into the Shadow World, whatever the fuck it's called, and make you like just plow through that, it kind of scales you back down, if that makes sense. Which I think is like a kind of clever way to do it. So I think that if anyone is struggling with it still, like, definitely go and look for the tree fragments that you need, because they up your defense and stuff, and that makes it just so much more approachable. Like, that's kind of the way for them to make it challenging again, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
the issues I have with the difficulty is I feel like the bosses are way too aggressive. And I don't, like, I'm somebody who played the first game with no summons. Like, I'm a big action game person. I like difficult games.
Mm-hmm.
I like a challenge. But they remind me so much of, like, Sekiro's boss battles. But Elden Ring doesn't have the tight controls or responsiveness that Sekiro has. And then you mix that with, like, there's so many battles where, like, you get kind of hit into a corner by a boss and then get, like, pummeled on. But because the camera's up your fucking ass, you can't see anything. Like, you literally, like, just die. Every time I've lost, like, today, I lost about 600k of runes just from dicky cameras, getting stuck on geometry, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's, like, super frustrating to see in a game. Like, it was one of the best-selling games last year. Like, before we kind of... From was, it like, a budget developer back in the day, and we kind of forgave that roughness, I feel, because they, they were getting started, like, with Demon's Souls. But now, like, they're literally selling the best games of each year, like, and I don't know if that's, like, you can get away with that anymore. So, yeah, like, there's just a lot of, like, little things like that that kind of contributes to the game's difficulty, and that's what makes it more frustrating than anything. Because, like, they've always been hard. Like, those games have always been difficult.
Yeah.
But this is, like, a lot of the victory or the satisfaction of winning is taken away from you by a shit camera, shit controls, or, like, characters that are tuned too tightly for what you are. So, I don't know. I kind of see people... I mean, I don't obviously encourage the extreme action that everybody takes when they get upset at a video game, but, like, I can kind of understand where people are coming from. I think with this calibration patch they put out, like, I think it's, like, the sweet spot.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they comment on it, like, specifically in terms of, like, that yes, it was too hard, or say, like, why it needed to be balanced? I feel like that doesn't generally happen with these games, does it?
Is that a character or not?
Yeah, I think it was just overwhelming, like, for even, like, the people who play Elden Ring all the time, to kind of complain about it makes, you know, maybe they realize they have to do something.
Do you think in their mind it was like, let's really give them a challenge because this is for the hardcore of the hardcore that are going to pay $60 for this, and then it was too much?
I don't know. Like,
it's weird.
Like, I don't think it's that unattainable, right? Like Harry did it all before pre-patch.
Yeah.
I'm not having a go at Harry, but like, I'm just saying, like,
did he know? Like, that's what one left under.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm sure he did. He always does. He does all the. I don't understand how he gets the FromSoft games done so quickly. I remember when I had to do Sekiro, it was really tough. I like was stressed that I wasn't going to finish it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I saw an article today that said, like, Miyazaki doesn't even play or he's finished these games. Like, he's bad at them. So I'm like, well, how can you like kind of tune and direct these experiences when, like, you're yourself shit at them?
Yeah.
I was also talking to my mate today about this, and the summons are a contentious thing, but I feel like they are... I'm not saying this in a negative way, but they are an easy mode. Like, if you're struggling, use the summons. Like, that's what they're there for.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's never been more kind of obvious as in Erdtree, because one of the two progression items increases the strength of your summons. Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, that's like an acknowledgement. Like, if you're struggling, use them.
Mm.
But yeah, like, what were we talking about? Like,
difficulty,
feel like,
yeah, Harry.
Yeah, I think in terms of what Shannon said, like, they didn't say anything, and they just kind of put out their patch notes and said, look, the first half of the collectibles you find that improve your defense will improve your defense more. Yeah. In the second half. So even if you get to the second half of those collectibles, you'll still have a bit of a harder time, but you're going to get more gains at the beginning, which I think mm-hmm. is what everyone was... That was my problem. Like, I was... At the beginning, there was just so much, like, friction between me and the game, like, in terms of trying to just get shit done. But it was so hard, but then I found more collectibles and stuff, and now, like, I'm enjoying it again.
Which is how the, like, original kind of gameplay loop works, right? It's like, if you kind of run up against an enemy
you want them to be with,
you have to go out and kind of, like, seek...
And there is.
Yeah, yeah. I think it makes sense to just kind of tinker with the elements that, like, kind of buff your character, like, and progress your character and that tinker with that to a degree. Because presumably, you as a player aren't necessarily going and picking up all of those, right? Like... So if you're finding it hard, then you can go and seek out more of these things, and you're going to get kind of more power in your character now as a result of the update. Like, it still sounds like there's a lot of player control kind of tied up in it, which is, in my mind, like what Elden Rings has been about, as opposed to kind of other FromSoft games. There's this seamless, like, multiplayer mode that I've seen people play, and, like, that sounds like a kind of fun way for me to, like, combat the difficulty without having to go and grind. That was, like, what worked so well for Returnal for me. Like, trying to play Returnal solo, I found quite grueling, but then as soon as they added the co-op mode, it kind of, like, just reignited an interest in the game. I had a lot more of a better time playing it, and we kind of powered through it and saw that story out. I feel like I would kind of get a similar sort of enjoyment out of playing Elden Ring with a co-op sort of thing. It'd be cool if that mod was, like, made an official element of the game. Mostly because I lack people to play with it on PC. But yeah, I'm curious about the difficulty thing, because this feels like such a different situation from a soft game and from, like, their loyal fans.
I think it's just people, once again, they're taking their builds from the end of the game and being upset that they're not amazing at the beginning of the Erdtree, right?
Like, but, like, I thought that's what they would want. Like, would you not want the challenge to step up? You don't want to just, it to be an even difficulty from where it was at the end of the game.
Like, I've got to be honest, like, I haven't delved too deep into what people are saying beyond that it's too hard, but, like... I agree. Like, I feel like
that's what your own experience was.
I feel like it just takes one vocal person or one tweet to go viral, and then everyone jumps on a bandwagon as well. Like, it doesn't take even half of a point. for gamers.
You're right. To be honest, like, I see the people that are praising it, like, a lot of them, I'm like, you can just tell by how they're talking or what they're talking about that they haven't even played it. Like, so I feel like it definitely goes both ways.
I don't know. I hate the elitist with these games now. Like, there was that article about how someone was, like, level 800 and still couldn't play it. And I was like,
Yeah, and that's, like, also ridiculous, like, because I'm level 160 and I'm, like, I'm fine. Like, I'm getting through it. Like, do you know what? Like, I'm struggling a little bit, but it's, like, kind of ridiculous that I can't even fathom how much time you have to put into that game to get to level 800 or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah,
I'm also just letting people kind of either play the game at, like, at higher difficulties you want or, like, allow for people to kind of simplify it and dumb it down a little bit, for lack of a better term.
I think it's definitely, like, just do it your way, absolutely. But if you're jumping into Erdtree, you definitely have to go and get those defense pickups. Like, they are very crucial. Maybe the game should tell you when you first land in that realm, because it doesn't actually tell you until...
The game doesn't tell you anything ever, though. Like, the tutorial was, like, infamously easy to miss at the start of the game, right?
I did. That's where it all went wrong, I fear.
You literally have to jump down a hole, and it's like, oh, this is a tutorial, okay.
I don't know, I like they do things their way, but it, does feel like it's time to start thinking about a few things.
Yeah, I just give people the option, that's all I'm saying. Like the summons is a great example of giving people the option, right? It's like, if you want to make it a bit harder for yourself, go for it. If you want to, like, throw yourself a bone, summon a friend. Anyhow, eager to see how that develops, James, and as you progress through it, let us know how you think of the DLC in its entirety. We better crack on, though. I do want to get to some of the Capcom announcements that happened in the week. They revealed a March 2026 release date for Street Fighter Movie, the original Resident Evil trilogy coming back to PC, and a showcase covering the newly announced Dead Rising Deluxe Remaster, the soon-to-launch Kinitsu Gami Path of the Goddess, and the release of Resident Evil 7 for Mac and iOS devices. Shannon, do any of these announcements do anything for you?
Dead Rising, I was a big fan of. James and I were chatting earlier today about the 360 era of Capcom games. This and Lost Planet in particular really felt like great Capcom and Xbox games. I like this game. I think it existed in a time where, like, there wasn't really a lot of zombie games, and James and I disagreed on this, but I do feel like there are other games like Dead Island and what's the other one? Dying Light, like, and just other zombie games where you just smash through hordes of zombies.
Like, nowadays, so you'd think there's less of a need
I think so. Like, this this was like a guilty pleasure of just, like, smash. For the audience, James is just pulling faces.
I'm not pulling faces.
This came out of nowhere for me. I don't know if there were any whispers. Obviously, I'm not 24/7 on the gaming news these days, but really felt like it came out of the blue. But I think it makes perfect sense.
If I'm not mistaken, it's not the first time the game has been remastered, right? This one might be a bit more remakey, but not so far as like the Resident Evil remix.
Yeah, I don't think it's, like, new in the same way that RE2 and RE4 are, but it's definitely new in the way that it's been built from the ground up on RE Engine.
But rather than building, like, a slightly reimagined game, or a largely reimagined game, they're just rebuilding it one for one.
I feel like this was the only way we were going to see this franchise come back. Like, James, you probably played them more than me, but, like, Dead Rising 4, I feel like there was another... Was there 5? There was... Two or three that were flops.
So three was the Xbox One launch exclusive. Okay. So that was a win. So nobody played it, and it was bad. And then Dead Rising 4, it was not good either. So I think I think this, Shannon's right. Like, I think this is the way to bring it back. Absolutely. I do think, kind of tying into what we were talking about before, the big thing with Dead Rising was the timer. So I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, Ewan, but did you...
This is like reminding me of a bunch of things. Yeah.
So very similar to, like, I guess Majora's Mask in a way where, like, you know, you kind of play the game on a 3-day loop.
Yeah.
And it's real time, so you have to kind of plan who you can and can't save. And there is a way to save everybody. I did it back in the day. But yeah, like, it's very tough. Like, it's very stressful at times. But it was really unique, and that's why I don't think they should take that away, but I think going back to what we're talking about, they should definitely maybe include a mode where there isn't that kind of tension or stress, even though I do feel like it undermines the point of it.
Yeah.
If it means more people get to play and enjoy Dead Rising, that's a win for me.
It was total game over, right? Like, you got to the end and then you started again, or am I misremembering how it was?
So there was, it's like, there was like an overtime. So story-wise, you could, there was like an overtime mode where like there's, you could play the rest and finish the story off. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't get to the helipad by, say, this time, you just, yeah, that's it. It's over.
Hmm. Interesting.
I do remember getting a bit sick of that loop. And knowing my brain, that is something I would get sick of and just move on.
That would make me so anxious, having a single clock, like, yeah, just count down.
It genuinely makes you like, oh, and you'll get like a distress call from somebody, and you're on the other side of the shopping center, and you're like, oh, is it worth it or not? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even like, even you go and get some survivors, you can then outfit them with weapons, and you've got your own little like security crew with you then that way. And obviously, I'm sure the AI will be improved here, because that was pretty average in the original game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I genuinely think, like, I know Shannon thinks the opposite, but like, I feel like there's nothing like this.
There's
game.
No Dead like, Rising. In terms of
the goofiness, right, or like just being able to go into a shop and pick up almost anything. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
If they sell it at a shop, you can pick it up and use it as a weapon. And that was really cool.
It was.
So yeah, I'm excited for this. I think it's really cool. I think it is more of a remake than a remaster personally.
Yeah.
But is it this year, have they said?
So, they've got an online event for this and Path of the Goddess next week. So, it's a bit big. I don't know.
Combo meal deal.
I like that they're paying attention to their smaller games as well. So,
well, it can't just be Resident Evil.
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of feels like they are because there's not a lot else to talk about this year, right? That being said, I mean, like, this sounds like a good kind of thing to fill. Like a gap.
I think it'll do well.
Tentpole releases.
I think, yeah. Like, yeah. I think this, yeah, I definitely think this is like within the next 6 months or something. Maybe even this year. It wouldn't surprise me because, I mean, they've got July for Path of the Goddess. But, yeah, I think next year for them is going to be bigger, like Monster Hunter and Resi, probably.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, cool. And the Street Fighter movie 2026, is that exciting to you, James?
They've tried to do this like 3 times already, and it's always the last one had the guy from the Black Eyed Peas in it. Like,
yeah, like Kieran pointed that out.
I just feel like Street Fighter isn't as cool as Mortal Kombat in what you can do with those characters. They're a bit.
Yeah, that's I agree. I'm just gonna There's the lore just isn't the same like as Mortal Kombat. So
I feel like on the whole, like the movie industry is getting better at doing these kind of adaptations, though, and not being afraid to kind of push things in a bit of a different direction. So hopefully that bodes well. But yeah,
Street Fighter, like each character has their own story, and you can't. It's I don't know. It's
Well,
I would be pleasantly surprised if it's good, but I'm not expecting much.
We'll be there on day one.
In, I feel like if a they year can't, and a half. If they can't get Resident Evil properly adapted, how are they going to get Street Fighter? Like,
fair point. Yeah. Yeah, that's very fair point. Well, one of the games that the Capcom are going to feature as part of their showcase is Resident Evil 7 for Mac and iOS devices. Sorry, have I got that right? iOS devices? Was it Mac and...
I'd say so.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, cool.
iPhones. Etc.
Oh, because Resident Evil 4 is currently on iPhones and iPads, but not 7. Cool.
Yes.
And Village. That's why I'm getting confused. So, yeah. Speaking of Resident Evil making its way to Apple platforms, Resident Evil 7 no less, the iOS ports of Resident Evil 4 and Village, Death Stranding, and Assassin's Creed Mirage have been selling poorly according to analysis by MobileGamer.biz. Working with estimates from App Figures, only predicted 7,000 people paid for Resident Evil 4 and 5,750 for Resident Evil Village. So yeah, not a great deal, large amount of sales there. I think the kind of return, the estimated return for Assassin's Creed Mirage was only like $150,000, something like that. So pretty slim numbers. Shannon, does this surprise you at all? Or I guess like having gone hands-on with Assassin's Creed Mirage, I think I saw you playing recently, like, is it just not really a platform well-suited to kind of playing these kind of games?
It's a hard one. I think all of these games were full price when they released. So like $100.
Yeah.
And they were all like years, not Mirage, like Mirage is what, 6 months later, but the others were like years after release. So like you'd have to really want to be playing these games on an iPhone or an iPad. And like if James isn't running to do it, I don't know who is. So it doesn't surprise me. Like, A, I assume Apple is funding these, and like we know that Apple isn't going to go bankrupt tomorrow. I'm honestly surprised 7,000 people bought Resident Evil 4, if that's the case, to be honest. I would like to speak to those
people. I
think
it's literally just people who run tech blogs or tech TikToks.
Yeah.
And yeah, people who... Because, like, you're right. Like, I feel like they're all late and full price.
Yeah, so. I will say the iPhone hasn't been a great experience. Running them on Mac is near... It's better than Switch. It's like probably PS4 level, if not somewhere between PS4 and PS5. And the iPad Pro M4, like running Mirage on that with a controller, everyone thought I was playing it in the cloud because it looks fantastic and runs really well on that. Granted, it is like a $2,000 device. So I think this is just a start for Apple. I think they've said that they're working on that Windows porting tool where games just sort of run on Apple devices. And I think if we get to a stage where the Apple TV has an M4 chip in it and it's $300 or $400, like we might see something like this pick up. But for the moment, no, it doesn't surprise me. I think they'll keep at it because like they've got Apple Arcade. It's cool tech, and I just think it's good because Apple's chips are best in class, right? Like they're incredible for performance and battery life, and it's just cool playing these games on it.
Yeah, I kind of get the sense for like at the moment it's more like a proof of concept rather than like a meaningful 100%. Like business motivated thing. Like, yeah, like the people that are buying these devices, like bearing in mind it's only like what your Pro 15, iPhone 15, and your iPad Pros are kind of capable of running these, right? Something like that.
I think so.
Like these are expensive devices, and if like you're keen to play this kind of level of game and have that kind of cash at your disposal, like chances are you've already got like a PS5 or an Xbox Series X and you've played the game already. So yeah, it kind of does feel like a bit more of like a tech demo, proof of concept kind of thing at the moment to kind of, I suppose you're right, Sean, like show a bit of a glimpse into the future of like what it could be within the Apple ecosystem as like these kind of powerful chips become more readily available and cheaper.
And the thing with Apple is they're releasing a new chip every year. So, like, it's getting better and better, and the old ones are getting cheaper and cheaper. So, I don't know.
Do we know if, like, Shadows is confirmed?
It is. It's launching day and date on Mac.
Yeah, I think when games launch, maybe you'll get better numbers and stuff, and it's all the same playing field, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's never going to be the primary platform anywhere near it in terms of PCs, but I think it could get to a point one day where people will see it worth bringing their games to Mac, and Apple's doing the work to do that. I, as an Apple fan, like obviously it's always been a lull that you couldn't play games on a Mac, but yeah, I think now that they're developing everything in-house, it's cooler to see it. But as James said, it's cool from like a tech point of view not to whip out Death Stranding on my iPhone and get playing.
Yeah, I think it makes sense for Apple to do it because like they've kind of cornered a lot of the laptop market otherwise. Probably the segment that they haven't like attracted much interest from is gamers because of the availability of games.
And so millions of people have these devices, right? So it's not as if you're buying something to play these games, like you have it in your pocket or in a desk or whatever most of the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious to see how it develops. Hopefully Shadows sells a bit better.
8,000.
I do have one more topic. 8,000, yeah. I do have one more topic for us to discuss today, and that is Forza Horizon 4 being delisted. It's soon to be removed from the Microsoft Store and Steam due to expiring licenses and agreements, with purchase of the game no longer possible post December 15th, 2024. So, yeah, really only just a few months left. If you purchase the game before then, you'll continue to be able to download it and play the game, but it'll be unavailable for Game Pass subscribers that haven't otherwise purchased it. Worth bearing in mind. James, obviously a topic we've kind of discussed at length before, games offlining with licensing issues. In the case of Forza Horizon 4, like, do you see this to be problematic or not so much of an issue, kind of given there are more recent versions of the game out? Or the series, I should say.
No, I think, like, it's... Can I just... Before we go on with this, like, isn't this normal for every Forza? I know, like, every Forza Horizon game or maybe even Forza, gets delisted at some point between the music,
yeah,
and the cars and the brands and the licensing and all that shit.
Yeah, as I understand it, it's been pretty consistent with the series.
Three happened a few years ago, and that was a bigger deal because it was Australia, obviously.
Yeah,
I think I think like absolutely like it's not good. Like it's not a, like when you, I feel like it sucks now. Like especially if you've made that game and that's your work, and now it's not really any. Like obviously, if you've got a physical disc and you've already owned it, that's great. I feel like the more interesting thing to talk about there is like in terms of Game Pass, like if games can kind of drop out of Game Pass that are first party, that's like the, I feel like this is the only game that seems to do that.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
but
games
then,
are coming and going from Game Pass all the time, but I guess it is a bit different.
But I feel like when you buy into Game Pass, like, you know, one of the dot points is all the first party games are there day one.
Yeah.
And I guess they are there day one, just not day 1000 or whatever we're up to now. But, yeah, I like, I don't, this doesn't surprise me. I'm like, I was kind of surprised to see this kind of blow up today, in the news, but, yeah, I wish they would, what they could, I don't know. I think it's to do with the cars more so than the music, right? Like, I feel like maybe.
I was going to ask that too, because couldn't you just mute it? Like, I know that's not a great solution, but wouldn't you just remove the music before?
Or like provide, there's Spotify, like all console, well, Xbox has Spotify support, I'm pretty sure from the top of my head as an example. But yeah, I think maybe some companies don't want their cars like out and about when the new one's coming out or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know enough about cars. I'm not going to pretend I know anything about cars. But
or it, like they're just kind of licensing the use of the logos and stuff. You know, people can be very protective of brands.
The only time I'd be like happy with this is like if, say, the newest game kind of replaces the older game. But we know that that's not the case.
Yeah,
you know, like there's different cars, different world, different everything. So
I think my biggest grievance with this, and like maybe my suggestion for like preserving some of the longevity of these games, is like just do something with the map. Like I think that was that's the disappointment with Forza Horizon 3, like obviously an Australian setting, and I think they did a really good job of like capturing elements of Australia's kind of landscape. And similarly with 4, that's set in the UK, right? And I guess, like, in this case, like, both are countries of significance to me.
Yeah.
Given my origins. It would be kind of cool if, like, they could just take the map of 4 and transplant it into 5 and use the cars and the soundtrack that's in there.
And to James's point,
pick which world you load into or whatever.
Like, it's on Game Pass, so, like, that'd be added reason to do that and just have it live under Forza Horizon. Like, there's already Lego there, so Lego Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
So just add them all in, and you're right.
Yeah, this is, like, kind of an example, I think, where, like, a live service game makes a lot of sense. Like, especially with it being kind of this festival, like the Forza Horizon festival sort of thing. Imagine you just kind of, you know, your title screen is the world map, and you kind of pick which festival you want to play that day, and you can jump into Australia or the UK, or is it Mexico in the most recent one? Something like that. Yeah. That seems like such a cool thing to do. I guess there's issues as to why that doesn't happen, but that's what I'd like to see.
I genuinely think it's licensing, though. Like, I'm just quickly reading now, and apparently...
It absolutely is licensing, but just if you just take, like, the game world that they built and put it into, like... The
deleting
with
entire
the current cars, the current music,
yeah.
And just, you know,
but are the games mechanically similar enough to support that?
I'd have thought
they're the same.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, like the graphics are different.
I don't
want to
make assumptions. Like,
no, they are. That like they're not really, to my knowledge. Like, there's no cars tied to specific things, or
like cars can't fly in Forza 5, but in Forza 4, break the map. You know.
Just
good, nice to confirm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I'm oversimplifying it and there's complexity involved, but that was at all possible, I'd love for that to happen.
I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always good when people start off with, like, they should just... .. Yeah. Always,
add guns to just, it, Pokemon style.
Yeah.
Grab the map
you
file.
You should do drive-by.
Control V.
Just turn it into GTA 6.
All right, I do have a rapid-fire question for you both before we go to What the Wiki. A potential release date of September 3rd may have leaked for the casting of Frank Stone via Redditor, who's noticed what looks to be a reference in Dead by Daylight. My question to you both, then. Are you interested in playing the supermassive-developed single-player horror game set in the world of Dead by Daylight? I, for one, am. I think I'd love a supermassive game. Looks like The Quarry. I'm in. What about yourself, Shannon?
No, not really. Maybe. I've never played Dead by Daylight, which I don't know why, because that's still a game I've loved, and Ghostface was in it, wasn't he? So,
that yeah, but like that was that not kind of just a tie-in?
Probably, yeah. But still, anything Ghostface, I'm there. I don't know. Now that you say, yeah, Supermassive, I'll always be interested in, but the Dead by Daylight part of it doesn't do anything for me.
Not knowing anything about the series, like, this is feels like a good endpoint. Like, I'm kind of keen to see what it's all about.
You've turned me.
Sorry, rapid fire. Anyhow, James, what about yourself?
No, because single.
Are you
single
sure?
Player,
what, like, this is a great jumping in point.
Oh, is this, okay, that's it.
So, is this meant to be like the Quarry or whatever, but single player?
I think so. Like,
I get so much fun from those games playing them with, like, my stupid friends, like, and making fun of their stupid decisions.
Do you know what's funny? You know is you hang are. So much shit on me for playing horror games, like, with mates.
Those games have multiplayer modes. They're designed around that. Like, are you cooked? Like, are you Resident for real?
Evil. You can just pass the controller in Resident Evil as well.
You are such a dumbass. Like, that.
Like, oh, so good.
Anyway, so, no, because I feel like the best thing about Dead by Daylight is all the licensed content. So I don't give a shit about, like, the monsters that are in that game.
Yeah, Frank Stone.
I don't know enough about
yeah,
the
like
world.
Who?
So.
Like, literally. Like, I'd rather Gary Pebble, thanks.
Is Gary Pebble an actual person? Or did you just make that up?
No. Okay. Just Frank Stone. Gary
oh,
Pebble,
okay.
But, to be fair, that is a very bland name. Like, it couldn't be more generic.
It just all looks generic. Like, I don't know. It looks a bit boring. Warzone. I don't know. I feel like Supermassive, like, they've got a lot on their plate at the moment with Little Nightmares and the new Big Dark Pictures. I'm keen for both of those games much more than this.
Yeah.
So,
and I think the biggest issue with Supermassive is they've never quite hit the same level of quality that we've had with Until Dawn as well.
And now, yeah. Like, spreading themselves thin across three projects, like, yeah that's going to win. Be the
I'm
win
worried
that
for
need.
Frankie.
Like,
I really enjoyed the Quarry, though. That felt like... Yeah, anyway.
I did too. Amazing fun with friends. With friends. What it was designed for.
All right, let's play What the Wiki, the pressed up podcast game show with the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and where the contestants must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with a round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points, or three if they clean sweep. You get a bonus point for doing that, which is exactly what Shannon did last week as last week's winner. Jumped up into second place on 16 points, tied with Brody. James is still out in front on 20 points, 4 points clear in first place. The rest of the pack, myself in third on 15, Kieran on 10, Harry on 5. Fingers crossed I can get some points here, and James's head is a bit scrambled with his cold, but we'll see.
Mm.
He's still playing Elden Ring just
this
fine.
This could go anywhere. There is a theme.
Okay. Hit me.
The game was released to PS3, Windows, and Xbox 360 on February 9th, 2010. Feral Interactive released an iOS version in 2012. The game takes place 8 years after the events of the original game. Players control the armored protagonist, Subject Delta, as he fights through splices the psychotic human population of the city, using weapons and an array
James.
Of... Yes, James.
Is this Bioshock 2?
It is Bioshock 2.
Wow! It had well a done. iOS port?
Did yeah, I say wow. iOS? I meant OS X, which is
Mac.
Oh,
my God.
I think I said that.
Shattered.
Oh, maybe,
I think
maybe
I did.
You did.
I did say it.
I don't...
Maybe I just confused
Move on. Okay. Game number two.
Oh my God, this is classic Shannon. This is classic Shannon behavior.
It's a downloadable side story for another game. Who's set during the events of
Ewan.
The main...
Is this well. Bioshock Burial at Sea?
No.
Oh, wait, game? No, Bioshock... Nah, it's different. Bioshock... It was the DLC for Bioshock Infinite, wasn't it? Burial at Sea.
Oh, James.
Yeah.
Shit, guys.
Is it Dead Rising Case Zero?
No.
James.
Oh, fuck.
You're technically both back in.
Oh.
But you're not going to get it, I don't think, from what I've said, so I wouldn't
do it. I wouldn't do it.
Okay. Keep going.
Fuck.
I don't know how to read this.
It's a simple skill.
The game sees a character called Zeke telling
Ewan.
No.
Oh.
Stop.
I got it. No pressure, Yui.
Is it?
Fuck. You really need to be sure, I think, before you can say it as well.
Is it Festival of Blood? Infamous Festival of Festival of Blood.
It is Infamous Festival of Blood. Well done.
Thank God.
You went. We love an even Steven. What is James doing? Choking.
I'm sick.
His own.
I was coughing. Yeah.
Okay. It looked like you were just choking because I couldn't hear anything.
Choking on the loss. That's.
The game is an open world action adventure game that was released in 2020 for the PS4, Windows, and Xbox One, Stadia, and Nintendo Switch. I'm going to need to grab some more from this.
Yeah, like, did you grab that sentence? Or not? To be fair,
no,
you were
there's more,
this
but it's boring.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm gonna just go here. A team of 60 people in Black Forest Games served as the game's developer. The original game's dialogue and humor remained intact, though the team enhanced them by updating the character models and cutscenes and introducing motion capture.
James.
What? Yes.
Is it Destroy All Humans?
It is Destroy All Humans, James. Bugger. Well done. They were all games featuring electricity, which was on the top of my mind. So enjoy that. That was an even round.
That's
very good.
That's a neat joke that I don't know if we should explain. That's hilarious.
No, let's not.
Cool. Well, James, you've cemented first place there, but at least in myself grabbing a point, I've tied in second place with Brody and Shannon. So, you know, it's kind of heating up for that second position. You're looking pretty comfortable on top, though, otherwise, James. With that, though, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at PressStart.au and visit the site at PressStart.com.au. We've been joined today by James.
Yes, you can find me at James, J-A-M-Z, on X. That's about it at the moment.
Also joining us today, it was Shannon.
You can follow me at Shannon Grixty on X and everything else.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.